It's now 1 o'clock, time for Central Coast Voices. Reproductive rights refer to the freedoms of individuals to control decisions regarding contraception, abortion, sterilization, and childbirth. Today, disputes over these rights have seized the nation. Join host Lata Murthy as she speaks with guests from Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, Luz Reyes-Martin, Vice President of Community Engagement, and Eloisa Chavez, Director of Education. They will discuss the work of Planned Parenthood to provide access to women's health care in the community, as well as the movement for reproductive freedom, both nationally and locally. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. Call in and be part of the discussion at 805-549-8855 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. The show addresses the many ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. If you miss a show, shows are recorded and archived on our website, kcbx.org, or you can listen to them on iTunes. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Our show today is coming to you through Zoom, and Lata, can you hear me?
I can.
There she is.
Thank you, Hank. The mission of Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, or PPCCC, is, quote, to improve our community's sexual and reproductive health outcomes through healthcare, education, and advocacy. Here with me today to talk about how PPCCC is fulfilling that mission for all Central Coast residents are Luz Reyes-Martin, Vice President of Community Engagement for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, and Eloisa Chavez, Director of Education for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast. Welcome, Luz and Eloisa.
Thank you, Lata. We're so happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. So I know most of us have heard of Planned Parenthood, but we all have different ideas of what Planned Parenthood is or does. Could you each explain what Planned Parenthood is and does, and also what Planned Parenthood is not and does not do?
Thank you. Well, I'll start off, and thank you so much for that great introduction. As you mentioned, our goal as a reproductive health care provider is to, care for our communities. Planned Parenthood California Central Coast covers San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. And we serve those communities by providing sexual and reproductive health care through, direct care at our health centers, through education, which Eloisa, as our Director of Education, can talk a little bit about, and through advocacy. One of the arms of our Planned Parenthood affiliate is our Action Fund, which helps to do, advocacy to help ensure that we have the resources and the rights to continue to provide reproductive health care here on the Central Coast. Eloisa, do you want to talk a little bit about education?
Sure. Thank you for having us, first of all. And then, just as Luz said, we're trying to not only create a space where we can welcome everyone into our health centers, but also create the space in classrooms where we can, and community-based organizations, by providing medically accurate and inclusive sexual health education. And our biggest goal is to make sure that everybody knows what their options are, how they can identify what and where they can go if they need any resources, and that includes anything from pap smear to gender affirming care to just a simple flu shot. And I think that that's just the wonderful thing about Planned Parenthood and the different resources that we have, is we welcome everyone and just want to make sure that we are giving everybody the opportunity to understand the scope of work that we do in the community, and that it isn't based off of, socioeconomic income, as in it's not based off of religion or racial inequities. We want to make sure that everybody is served, and expanding to indigenous communities as well.
Very good. So, Eloisa, you mentioned gender affirming care. Mm-hmm. And could you explain some more what that is?
Sure. It's a lot of, we have staff who work with those who would like to transition by giving them a hormonal therapy. So the idea is they can come to us when they are 18 and over, and we can provide those services, and they can seek care from our providers.
So I'll just add to that, mm-hmm. that, you know, for example, in the 2020 to 2021 year, we saw 285 patients on the Central Coast that were seeking gender affirming care services. Just to add on to what Eloisa shared, part of what we also do is referrals as needed to community resources, to other medical providers, and just a lot of, information and compassionate care for those patients that are seeking gender affirming care. I think one of the things that makes Planned Parenthood as a healthcare provider in many cases for our patients, the first choice is that we provide expert care in a setting that is compassionate and free of judgment. So all of your questions can get answered on any number of topics.
So Planned Parenthood then is not just for women. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We welcome all people and whatever gender identity they have. And so that includes, we mentioned a little bit about family planning, which includes, contraception, condoms, and including counseling and education about what options are available. One of the largest areas of care that we provide is STI testing and treatment for all people, cancer screenings and referrals for, any other services that might need to be provided as a follow-up. We do vasectomies and we've mentioned gender affirming care and abortion care for patients on the Central Coast as well.
Very good. So how long has Planned Parenthood California Central Coast been here on the Central Coast? What year did you start? Do you know? Or it's been so long that that no one remembers.
I don't want to get the year wrong, but it's been decades. And Planned Parenthood, nationally, has been in place for well over 100 years. So we're very embedded in the community in all three counties through our health centers. And I would say, the health centers are, of course, a piece of, our footprint in the communities. But as Eloisa mentioned, our education team works with community-based organizations, with community groups, with nonprofits, with education partners to provide information, whether that's sexual health education or Planned Parenthood 101, type of presentations. And our advocacy team is also embedded in the community via our community organizers that are in all three counties as well.
So how many health centers do you have here on the Central Coast?
Yeah. They'd love to give you a rundown on that. So we have health centers in San Luis Obispo, in Santa Maria, in Santa Barbara, in Ventura, and in Thousand Oaks. And just in the last year, we opened our newest health center in Oxnard.
So is it one health center per city, or is there more than one?
It's one health center per city, yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again?
It's one health center per city.
One health center per city.
Right.
Okay.
We have three in Ventura County, two in Santa Barbara County, and one in San Luis Obispo County.
Those Central Coast residents who don't live maybe right in the city, where you're located. Do you do telehealth, or is there a way they can access your services without being physically located where you are?
We do have capability to do some telehealth appointments. It depends on what the what's needed. So the best thing I would say is for anyone who may not have easy access to one of our health centers to just give us a call and call our health center, you know, our call center to talk about, you know, what information they'd need or what kind of care they need. And they'll work with you to determine what the best, you know, options might be for them.
And just to add to that, on our website, if you would like to make an appointment online, there are some services that are offered in telehealth, and those are updated as we are able to sort of see more people in person. And of course, we would love to see everybody in our health centers, but to also add, we've been also offering sexual health education virtually as well. So for schools and foster youth and a lot of other community-based organizations, we've been able to offer them virtual sessions, virtual workshops, which have been going really well. And we want to make sure that we, just because someone isn't able to walk into the health center or walk into a school, doesn't necessarily mean that they can't get the information that they need and the life skills that they need to know what their reproductive options are.
Great. So you offer a range of services, both in person and online. Was this always the case? Like, what growth and change in services and needs have you experienced since you've started working at PPCCC, Planned Parenthood California Central Coast?
Well, I'll say that we're both relatively new to the staff team. I think we've both for years been volunteers. I've served on the board before coming on to my staff role. I think in terms of the services that we've been able to expand over the last couple years, gender affirming care is a service that we is more recent that we're very proud of. I think, you know, in terms of health in our communities, we have really seen in the last couple of years, STI rates really increase significantly across the Central Coast. So that's an increasing area of need that we're seeing with patients coming into the health center. So we're really proud to be able to, you know, provide that testing and treatment. And again, in a non-judgmental, you know, setting where you'll be taken care of. And, you know, that's really what we want is folks to come in, you know, get tested and get treatment if needed.
And then I think the other portion of that is we didn't necessarily feel like we needed to live in a virtual world before. And now we're accommodating for those communities, and we're able to reach more people because of it. And I think that that's something that's really important. That you do bring up a really valid point that, you know, public transportation might not always be an option, and it does take time. But we're really working to make sure that these communities are getting the education that they need. Regardless of whether or not they're able to step into a facility that would host us in person. And the Promotor X program has been doing a wonderful job getting to the Latinx community in the Santa Maria Valley, or in the greater Santa Maria Valley area. And it's been wonderful to see just how much they've been able to reach in these areas and provide all of that information, answer all of their questions on a virtual platform. So that's been really wonderful.
I'm Lada Murthy with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voices with mine today are Luz Reyes Martin, Planned Parenthood California Central Coast's Vice President of Community Engagement, and Eloisa Chavez, Director of Education for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast. And we are talking about the growth and change that Planned Parenthood of California Central Coast has experienced since it began decades ago. We invite and welcome you to bring your questions or comments about today's topic to our guests. To do that, call 805-549-8855, or you can email them to voices@kcbx.org. So, Eloisa, Luz, I want to ask about a couple things that you'd mentioned right before I made the announcement just now. You'd mentioned STIs, and can you say what STIs stands for?
They're sexually transmitted infections. So we're talking about, gonorrhea and herpes, and the common misconception is that there's a real stigma behind, saying that you need care for these, and really they're fairly common, and it should be a bigger conversation. Planned Parenthood wants to make sure that everybody is practicing safe sex and getting tested and utilizing safer sex resources when they are enjoying themselves. But it's we just want to to Luz's point, we've been seeing a dramatic increase, and that's not just in Santa Barbara County, it's in Ventura County, San Luis Obispo County, and it's we just want to make sure that everybody not only knows the risks involved, but that they can get treatment, and that some are curable and then some are just maintained.
So I've been reading that part of that increase in STI, sexually transmitted infections, is because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you can speak some more to that, because when I first read that, I thought we were all sheltering in place. We weren't leaving the house. So how did that happen? Can you talk some more about that?
Yeah, I think part of that is, similar to what we've seen, I think, across the healthcare spectrum, is folks delaying care. So delaying, maybe what would have been a regular checkup, or, something doesn't feel right, and maybe you would have, gone in to get it checked out right away. During the pandemic, folks really, delayed that. We really see that across the healthcare spectrum. So I think that plays into it. I think another piece, but I will say that we've had STI, rates have been an area of concern for years. And so I think that's why, testing and treatment is so important, and really building more awareness around that. Destigmatizing, being tested and treated is a big part of that. And the education piece is huge. I mean, I think that's why, Eloisa and her team, and why as PPCCC, we have such an emphasis on education, so that folks of all ages, and especially our, younger folks, really have the information that they need to live healthy lives. And knowing, how to practice safe sex, what things to watch out for, where you can go to get information, and to get information from an expert healthcare provider. We all have Google, and you can, look things up. But we all know, that can at times not be reliable source of information. Something I hear often from patients and folks in the community is just how comforting it is to be able to go to a Planned Parenthood to have those questions asked that, really should be destigmatized and should just be a welcoming place to ask questions and get information.
Great. So another question related to that is something I've been wondering about for a while. So when I myself was a youth, which was not too terribly long ago, but well before Google, before I could Google ever anything, I learned of STDs, right? Sexually transmitted diseases. And now I hear STIs, sexually transmitted infections. Are you able to explain when that change came about and why they're known as STIs now and not STDs? Or am I older than I think?
I think it's mostly based off of the fact that science has been changing, and that treatment is more available now than it was then. So we didn't necessarily have a lot of that information when we were all much more in our youth. But I think that, you know, it's not technically a rebrand. There was always a difference between STDs and STIs. But I think we need to also move away from this stigmatizing language, because just putting that out there makes it harder for people to be a little bit more open, and then having those trusted conversations with your partner before starting to, you know, engage it could be more daunting when you have to come to them with different language. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to really have those honest conversations. And, you know, this is kind of the thing that could perpetuate even more STI rates increasing, because they don't want to fully admit that this is something that they are currently experiencing, and perhaps they're not being as safe as they need to be. Perhaps they are afraid of judgment. Perhaps they don't think that their partner would be as accepting. And so, with the science and with the language and, you know, with better treatment options, that's the main change. Those are the main changes.
Right. And certainly from what you explained, which I appreciate, sexually transmitted disease sounds a lot worse, right, than sexually transmitted infection. We all deal with infections, right, at some point in our lives. Yeah. So I appreciate that, because I've wondered that for a long time. So going back to specific services that Planned Parenthood California Central Coast provides, and you talked a little bit about that earlier, but or you have been talking about it all this time, but what are some of the most common services and needs that people come to the health centers for, or they go online for?
Yeah, I'll say that, you know, among the top things that we see patients for is, you know, birth control, you know, counseling, and making sure that, you know, working with a healthcare provider to identify the birth control method that will fit an individual's needs, cancer screenings, like we've said, you know, visits for sexually transmitted infections. And, you know, I think then those are like in the health centers. And then, you know, as we've talked about, all the sex education that happens. But I will say that, you know, the top things that we are seeing patients for really do include, you know, the STI testing and treatment is, you know, I think really the biggest part of what we've seen lately. And that family planning, which is, you know, contraception and birth control methods. Those are really the big areas that we see patients for.
And so, Eloisa, you were mentioning earlier the Promotor X, right? Or the promoters is what it translates to, right, in English. So could you talk some more about them? And you were talking about the work they do, particularly in the Santa Maria Valley.
Yes, they are an incredible cohort of women nor identifying as women. And they have been doing a lot of work around destigmatizing big topics like intimate partner violence and birth control and STIs and getting tested. And I think that in the Latinx culture, it's really difficult to have these conversations when, you know, I grew up in a household that was very taboo about some of these topics. And now I can have these conversations freely with my family members, but there are some families who are still experiencing this sort of, you know, don't talk about this, or we don't ask questions about this. And then they're forced to learn this information on their own. And, you know, alluding to what Luce was saying earlier, yes, this is, I mean, anybody could go to Google now and then immediately you just think that you're dying. But like, but I think that they have been doing a really great job at giving this information to especially monolingual Spanish speakers. And being in creating that safe environment, they are doing a lot of virtual cafecitos, is what we call them. And they host anywhere between 5 to 25 members of the community, and they answer all of their questions, and they're able to provide that inclusive environment as well. I think that when we hear things in our native tongue, it makes it that much easier to ask those vulnerable questions. And they've been doing just an incredible job working with the community and finding partners who are just as committed to the mission as we are.
So the Promotor X, they focus on the Latinx community, and they're doing all this work in Spanish, right? So why X at the end?
I say Promotor X because I speak Spanish, but it's Promotor X is, you know, what you can say. And we are acknowledging that it's not just women who can be promotoras. It's not promotoras, it's not promotores. You know, we want to acknowledge that anybody can fill this role and keep this message going and create those education opportunities.
It's gender inclusive language. Mm-hmm.
So have there been other languages or other language needs for services that you're experiencing? And what other languages do you provide services in?
That's a great question. So we know that our Central Coast, all three counties, are incredibly diverse, and that includes language diversity. Language access is a huge priority for us at the affiliate. It's part of wanting to, you know, really provide the best care to the people in our community. And so we have, over the last several years, had a great partnership with local community groups. And I'll highlight MICOP, which, you know, provides many services to our indigenous populations along the Central Coast. And we have a partnership with them to provide interpretation at our health centers if we have a patient that we're seeing that doesn't speak English or Spanish, or just needs that interpretation in the many indigenous languages that could be. And I'll say, in addition to that, we've, you know, further invested in having language access by having trilingual staff at our health centers. So in Oxnard, for example, we have health center staff who speak English, Spanish, and an indigenous language. I believe it's Mixteco in Oxnard. And that it continues to be a priority and a focus for us as we are, recruiting for staff, for example, at the health centers, and in continuing this partnership with MyCop to ensure that, we are in our education materials and also in the care that we provide, being as inclusive of different languages as possible.
We are going to take a short... Oh, go ahead, Eloisa.
I was just going to add quickly is that we're, even the Promotoreki team, we want to make sure that we're also giving this information in indigenous languages. So we are looking for those who do speak Spanish and Mixteco to join the team so that we can provide this much needed education, these life skills for even more communities.
No matter what language they speak. So excellent. We are going to take a short break to hear from our studio and a little bit of music. Over to you, Hank.
Thank you. You're listening to Lata Murthy, hosting today's Central Coast Voices via Zoom. We'll return to that show in just a moment. Stay with us at 2 o'clock this afternoon for Latino USA, followed at 3 o'clock by Fresh Air here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. It's now 1:31.
Hi, I'm Fred Friedman. Thursday evenings, I enjoy playing music for you on Jazz Liner Notes from 10 p.m. until midnight. Or you can listen anytime on demand at kcbx.org.
Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. I am on with Luz Reyes Martin, Vice President of Community Engagement for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast. I'm also on with Eloisa Chavez, Director of Education for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast. And we are talking about Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, PPCCC, and the services it provides. I'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question for today's guests or a comment for our discussion, we would love to hear from you. Call 805-549-8855, or you can email questions and comments to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. So I'm aware that right now PPCCC is participating in a storytelling campaign. Could you each tell me some more about that, Eloisa and Luz?
Yeah, I can take that. Our public affairs team is leading our storytelling program. Essentially what it is, Planned Parenthood nationally has a storyteller program, and it's a way to really capture patient stories from our supporters of experiences that they've had with accessing or not reproductive care. And so here on the Central Coast, we're really having a focus on that to capture those stories. And we're also getting an influx of folks in the community who want to tell their stories. And so what that entails is, periodically throughout the year, we'll have storyteller workshops where we'll, you know, provide an overview of, you know, the different ways that stories can be told. They can be, you know, written down, they can be done in a video or an audio file. We help support folks to be able to tell their stories and talk with them about, you know, their level of comfort and what they want to share and that they don't have to share anything they don't want to. But I'll say that what's increasingly important about these stories is to really, you know, capture the importance of those oral histories of, you know, folks of all ages, folks that, you know, sought care before Roe, you know, in pre-1973, you know, folks now that are, you know, seeking care. And it's just so important to gather those stories and to share them. And really, it's in an effort to bring more awareness to the fact that, you know, so many of us do seek care, that it is a normal, you know, part of healthcare and taking care of ourselves, and really opening the door to having those conversations within communities, within families, about you know, why it's important to talk about reproductive healthcare.
Eloisa, did you have anything to add about that?
I think Luke explained it really well. And, you know, we're always consistently looking for volunteers who would want to share their stories, and they can always come to us. And of course, we want to make sure that we're creating a safe platform for them. And it's just an incredible opportunity to know that there are so many people who have incredible stories behind, you know, what Luce was alluding to before Roe, and, you know, in this other world that we're kind of living in now, and just supporting those voices and lifting those voices, and that it is a common procedure, and that it is something that it is commonplace, and just really opening that conversation. And I think that this program really highlights that, and it's just so important. And so, yeah, thank you for the questions.
I'll add a little bit more about, you know, the types of stories that, you know, we've heard and that we've gathered. Of course, there are some really powerful abortion stories from, you know, folks in our community, really across the Central Coast, that are really important, that show up, you know, a picture and examples of what it was like to seek abortion care before, you know, Roe v. Wade, and also what it's been like now. So hearing those stories are really important. And I think also, you know, just the stories of coming to a Planned Parenthood and like why they came and what that experience was like are also really powerful. You know, I'll share, you know, Luisa, you know, mentioned this, you know, I also grew up in a Latino household where, you know, I felt very supported and loved, but, you know, sexual health was not something that I think, you know, my parents were equipped to talk to their kids about. So it was just something we didn't talk about. I didn't feel like I had a really comprehensive sex education in high school. And so I found myself as a younger person, you know, where do I go to ask questions about my body and how to take care of myself? I'll go to Planned Parenthood. And it was a wonderful experience where, again, I was never made to feel like I, you know, I should feel bad for not knowing, you know, what may have been basic reproductive health information. They, you know, sat down with me. They were so compassionate and kind. And just answered any question I had, gave me resources, gave me more information, welcomed me to come back anytime. And I really felt empowered with information about how to take care of myself. so that I could make decisions based on, you know, medically accurate information. And we hear that kind of story so often. And what it does is it opens up that door, right? Where now I'm a person who can, you know, share that with other people in my family, other women in my family, younger women in my family, and in my community, where, you know, I can say, you know, I went to Planned Parenthood. Go there if you have questions and have need information. It's a great place to go. And so those stories are really common as well.
So these stories you're hearing in the storytelling campaign are not just about abortion. And it sounds like they're not just women's stories.
Yes, we welcome anyone who, you know, wants to be part of the storytelling campaign. And even if you don't have a story, you can, you know, join us to be, you know, supportive. And there are many other ways that you could help be supportive of storytelling and of Planned Parenthood in general. And you're right. It is inclusive of all people who may have a story, no matter what their gender identity is.
And so if someone listening is interested in participating in this, how can they get involved?
That's great. Well, I would welcome anyone to, you know, visit our website. There are places there where you can contact us or send an email. I think it's info@ppcentralcoast.org. If you just have a general question or want to get more involved in or more information about any number of topics, and we'll take care of that and respond.
And so what has been the impact you've seen? Initially, I was thinking, what's been the impact of these stories on listeners? But really, what impact or change have you seen in the community overall because of the services that PPCCC offers?
Yeah, I think that, we are, of course, seeing increased attacks on our reproductive rights. We're all expecting a Supreme Court decision that is very likely to overturn Roe v. Wade. The awareness around that, I think, has really led to an increase in folks all across our communities reaching out to us. For many reasons. They want to help, they want to know what they can do, and they want to share a story. I think in particular, folks who remember what it was like before Roe really want to share how unjust and alarming the situation is right now that we're facing. So we've seen really an influx in folks wanting to share those stories. And we know that in talking to our communities, that storytelling is really powerful. It really personalizes. It makes it real. It makes it, you know, a real situation where you might even, you know, be able to envision yourself in their shoes. And see that, this is about people being able to make decisions about their own lives and their own futures and their own families. And so that's why that storytelling is so powerful to, you know, really break open that conversation, to destigmatize abortion or, you know, reproductive care in general. And it's just so an important piece of how we care for our communities and the outreach and education that we do in the community.
So, Eloisa, could you speak more about that outreach and education in terms of the effects you've seen, the change, the impact that it's had, particularly on youth?
I think that the Promotoratis program has seen like an incredible jump of interest, and they have been working in the community. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they are seen as a trusted resource in the community, and they can be approached with different questions. This is our main presence in the Santa Maria area, and we're hoping to sort of expand on that. And especially, as I mentioned, for Mixteco speaking people, and then that way we're able to see what the demand is there. We've been, and as Luz has said, MECOP has been, or MECOP has been a wonderful partner, and they have invited us to, you know, reach out to their communities on a regular basis. And we're noticing now that everyone wants more information. They are realizing that we don't provide just, you know, one thing, that there is an entire continuum of care, from education to, you know, the myriad of resources and services that we provide, you know, but beyond, you know, STI testing and birth control. And so I think that's the biggest increase, and even family planning. I don't think a lot of people realize just how much we're able to offer, and that we have staff that can help them in their own languages, and again provide that, you know, judgment-free, safe environment. Really welcome everyone.
I'm Lada Murthy with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. Today, I am talking with Luz Reyes Martin, Planned Parenthood California Central Coast's Vice President of Community Engagement, and Eloisa Chavez, Director of Education for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, or PPCCC. We still have a little more time for your emailed questions or comments at voices@kcbx.org. So I don't think we talked about this yet, but how large is the staff at PPCCC? So you have multiple health centers. So how many people are working right now for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast?
That's a great question. I don't have a number for our staff. I know it's over 100. We have lots of health center staff at the centers, which includes, you know, our, you know, healthcare, you know, assistants, the office staff, the providers. I'll say that, you know, on our teams, I'll let Eloisa talk about her team, but the public affairs team, you know, that does a lot of the grassroots organizing across the three counties, is led by our director of public affairs. And there's a community organizer that's assigned to each county. So those three. And then we have a communications court and outreach coordinator that I work really closely with. And I'll let Eloisa talk about her education team.
Yeah, and then additionally, I have on my team two educators assigned to the Ventura County area. We have one committed community health educator in Santa Barbara County with two sort of supporting roles or positions. And we have the Promotora Keys program, which we are hiring for. And that is going to be assembled as a group of nine. And so there's plenty of opportunity there to join that team. And for the monolingual Spanish speaking or for the mixed communities. And then also we're looking to see if we have more partners who want to get more medically accurate, inclusive sexual health education. So we're always looking for partners in these areas. We're starting to look at how we can better serve the San Luis Obispo County area. And that would be an area that we haven't historically been able to have too much of a presence in, but we're really excited to see how that develops. And we want to just be able to serve everyone and give everybody the education that they deserve.
So on the other side of that, how many clients or patients, about how many have you served or do you serve overall?
Or within the affiliate, or did you mean just like on our team?
Sorry, I started talking and because I do have that information. So, you know, as I mentioned, we just posted our annual report for 2020-2021, which is available on our website. So these numbers are from that year, but they're not dissimilar to, you know, other years. So on an annual basis, we serve over 24,000 patients all across the Central Coast. The vast majority of those do identify as female. You know, about 45% of the patients that we see across the Central Coast are Latinx or identify as Latinx. So, you know, you can see that we serve, you know, our whole community, really diverse population, a range of ages, but it's really around that 24,000. We do see that, you know, increasing little by little, especially as we've just opened in the last year, a new health center in Oxnard.
24,000 is a good large number of people. So I'd like to end by focusing more on each of you as individuals who are part of this much larger organization. So what for each of you is the best or your favorite part about working at Planned Parenthood California Central Coast?
Eloisa, you want to go first?
Oh, no, that's fine. Luz alluded to this earlier, but I was volunteering with Planned Parenthood for about 5 years before I came on staff. And so and my scope of work has been public health for a little more than a decade now. But I think my favorite thing is the fact that I can marry both of these passions in the same space and be able to provide so much important information to the community, and I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that I get from this is that I'm able to do everything that I love in one place.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, it's really, you know, fundamentally about the mission. You know, I truly, you know, as a core belief, you know, feel that, you know, having power over and reproductive freedom to make decisions about yourself and your family, and having the expert care and resources and education in order to do that, I think is just so core to, you know, my belief system and the belief system that I feel that all people should have. And so being able to work at Planned Parenthood gives me the opportunity to work on that every day, to make sure that our communities have the education they need, that they can live full, healthy lives, and they can come to our health centers if they ever need care. So that is so deeply fulfilling and meaningful. And it's wonderful to work at a place where I know all of my colleagues really share in that mission. And it just makes it a great team to be part of.
So is there anything that's really challenging or that you find to be the most challenging aspect of your work that you're working on individually?
Well, I think, of course, you know, the increasing attacks on that reproductive freedom is absolutely the most challenging thing. You know, we want to be able to continue to care for patients here on the Central Coast. And as California and as Central Coast, our doors are staying open. They are open now and they will stay open and we will be here and we will continue to care for folks no matter what happens. And so, of course, that's challenging. And we see that and hear that in our patients. You know, they're so glad that, you know, they have access to care here, but they may have a friend or family member in another state where that right and that access is being, you know, scaled back or shut down completely. And it's very alarming for them. And it's, you know, it's a real area and cause for concern. So, of course, that is our biggest challenge. But, we, you know, we are going to keep doing everything we can to care for folks here on the Central Coast and in California.
So what final takeaways would you like our listeners, or would you like to leave our listeners with? What would you most like them to remember from today's show about Planned Parenthood California Central Coast?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll say that, you know, I hope that folks that are listening, you know, if you've never been to one of our health centers, and you need access to any of the healthcare services that we've mentioned today, give us a call, come in. You know, we have wonderful folks who will care for you and answer your questions. You can visit our website to get more information about the services that are provided. And if you're out in the community and want to get involved, want to volunteer, want to help support us in any way, you know, you can also find that information on our website. Eloisa has mentioned she's looking at hiring, you know, some promotores in Santa Maria Valley. So if folks are interested or know someone who might be a good fit, you can, you know, find out more about that on our website, too.
Anything else you'd like to add, Eloisa?
Just that we're here. And, you know, as Lou said, no matter what. And, you know, this is a great opportunity to get involved. You know, we have openings in all of our departments, and we also have, just a myriad of ways to get, involved in volunteering. So, our doors are open, and, just thank you for having us on.
Thank you. So my guests today were Luz Reyes Martin, who is Vice President of Community Engagement for Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, and Eloisa Chavez, also with Planned Parenthood California Central Coast. She is Director of Education for PPCCC. We've been talking about Planned Parenthood California Central Coast, PPCCC, and the many services it provides to many people on the Central Coast, not just women. We've also been talking about PPCCC's education, outreach, and its recent patient storytelling campaign. To find out more about all of this, please visit its website at www.planned-parenthood.org/planned-parenthood-california-central-coast. Next week, on Thursday, June 16th, please join me, Lada Murti, as I speak with guests from the Central Coast involved in organizing upcoming Juneteenth celebrations in their communities. They will discuss the history and importance of Juneteenth, as well as share details about upcoming celebrations. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation, in collaboration with KCBX. I am Lada Murti. Thank you for joining us today.